Take our Bibles. We'll turn first to Luke chapter 2. It's found on page 1090. 1090 in the Bibles there in the pew racks. Luke chapter 2. Read the first 20 verses, Luke chapter 2. People of God, hear now the very words of God. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let us also turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. This is found on page 1251. Colossians 1, we'll begin reading at verse 13. We're going to refer back quite a bit to verse 15. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Speaking of our Heavenly Father, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. As far as the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, this morning is what we often call Christmas Day. And Christmas is a time when many give and receive gifts. We as Christians do it in part because we reflect the grace of our God, who gave the gift of His Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, the Savior of all those who believe Him. That's the heart of Christmas, the birth of the Son of God, our Savior. Now, there are many aspects to this wonderful gift we can consider, but what we've been tracing through the Scriptures this Advent season has been the image of God. Man as the image of God, created, broken, restored, and will be glorified. And the reason we're being restored in God's image is because of the birth of Jesus, His work of redemption. That God's Son brings God's true image. God's Son brings God's true image. That's what we consider this Christmas morning. And first we consider that this person is human and Lord. Now the Christmas story we read from Luke 2, it's very familiar to most of us. And what's also familiar is what happened, the birth of a baby. It's happened for everyone here. It's a wonderful time, a joyous occasion when a baby is born, especially when that's your firstborn. Now this wasn't how the first man and woman came to be. God formed the first man, Adam, from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Then shortly afterward, the Lord God took a rib from that man, and out of that he made the woman, whom he then brought to man, Eve, uniting them in marriage. That first couple was made, each of them in a special way, a unique way. And with their being made, God made them, male and female, He made them in His image. He made them very good. He made them unbroken. There was the image of God on earth. All the animals, all the trees, the rocks, the stars in the heavens, but there, Adam and Eve, the image of God, man and his wife. That's how we began. Now, it didn't stay that way. We know Adam rebelled against God, and in doing so, he broke the image of God. And we live with that brokenness. Remnants survive, but there is no hope with us. Not with us. Hope remains because God did not destroy Adam and Eve. God has a plan for humanity, for the one whom He created in His image. God will restore it. And the entire Bible recounts for us God's work of redemption that finds its fullness in the sending of His Son Jesus, whose birth we remember and celebrate today. The Son of God has come. He's come as human. He wasn't made directly of the dust of the ground like Adam. God didn't take a rib from Mary and make a baby Jesus with it. Instead, Jesus came about as we do. He was conceived. He was born. Now, Scripture makes clear that He was conceived in a way unlike us, unlike every other. The Holy Spirit miraculously conceived Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary to bring about God's true image in mankind again. Something new was needed, and so there was that unique conception. The Holy Spirit intervened. But being conceived in that miraculous, unique way, everything else was typically human. Even as we read in Luke 2, verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths. That's normal. That's human. Now that Jesus was laid in a manger, that isn't quite normal for us, but it fits. Given, as we read, that there was no place for them in the inn. It fits that culture. It fits that society. It fits Joseph and Mary's position, status in it. The one who brings God's true image is very human, even as you and I are. And yet there's something more. The angel said to the shepherds that this human baby is Christ the Lord. A mere human, we've seen, cannot repair the image of God. No man, no woman other than Christ has done it. There's no evolution into the image of God. You can't give enough humans to try it. You can't give it enough time to try it. There aren't enough mutations and random happenstances. The image of God was there, but it was broken by man's sin. There's no getting back to it through natural means. Evolution is false all the way around. Something else is needed, and Christmas very much testifies God has done that something else. God Himself has come down to earth in the person of Jesus. Colossians 1 verse 16, which we read, "For by Him, by Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him." In verse 19, "In Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." He is the true image of God. The person who was born on Christmas Day did not come into existence on that day or 9 months earlier. He is God. He was before all things. He is God the Creator, God the Son, by whom all things were created. Straight from Scripture. And one cannot come to Christmas, one cannot celebrate Christmas believing that this child is merely human, only human. He is human. Obviously he's human. That wasn't a stumbling block for many of the Jews in Jesus' time. He was born. He was wrapped in swaddling cloths. He was laid in a manger. He grew up. He lived. He died. Yes, he's human. Fully human. But Christmas, while it is a human story, is not merely a human story. That would not restore the image of God to us. We don't need simply a nice story. We don't need only a story about friendship or about someone going from rags to riches. God Himself must come down to us, or we are lost because of our sins that separate us from God. Our sin that calls down upon us, upon the sinner, God's just wrath. Praise God that Christmas Day is the celebration of the birth of one who is human and Lord, man and God, who is the true image of God. Humanity and deity, not mixed, but united in one person. The person of Jesus. He has come. He's come to save. And going back to that passage of Luke 2, we're not told there was a halo around the Christ child. There was no glow from Him. Glory came from the angel, as we read in verse 9. And with regard to the angel, the glory of the Lord shone around them, the shepherds. They went with haste to see the Christ child. They needed a sign, didn't they? The angel said, "This will be a sign." It wasn't of some glowing infant. It was of a baby lying in a manger. No glory of the Lord visible to the eye. Instead, glory of the Lord veiled. His glory, He veiled it in grace. He took upon Himself something the angel didn't, couldn't. He took upon Himself our nature. God's Son brings God's true image. And He begins that work by becoming human, plain to the outward eye. It was only the message, it was only the good news, the gospel, the good news of great joy that gave understanding in that situation. And as we read from Luke 2, even those to whom the shepherds told this, they wondered at it. It's the same message that I declare to you this morning. The Son of God has come. He has come to save by suffering and sacrificing Himself in the place of His people, to rise from the dead, to save all those who trust in Him. There was nothing visible. The image of God that's being restored by this one who is God's true image looks and is altogether human. But there is more. There is more. We move in our second point to consider even more of what this more is, that He's righteous, He's Savior. Now, children, what is it that broke the image of God? Well, it was a man, yes, Adam. But what is it that he did? Well, he didn't take a hammer and smash something, right? He didn't trip and fall, shattering the image of God like some glass. You know, maybe, children, you play with some of your toys and you end up breaking them. It wasn't like that. The image of God is not fragile in that way, even though it took only one thing to break it. That one thing was sin. Adam, his sin. He performed a moral action, disobedience. It was Adam's sin that shattered the image of God in man. The Son of God has come. He who is the image of God has come to restore that image. Not simply to patch up the pieces that Adam broke, but to bring the true image of God in its fullness, establish it here upon earth, establish it as human once again. And the only way He can do that is to bring righteousness, obedience. He is God's very Son, as the voice from heaven said it at Jesus' baptism and later the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is God's Son in whom God is well pleased. Even there in the manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths, this one is righteous, without sin. He is the true image of God. He is the image of the invisible God. Again, it wasn't at that time a visible glory, but especially righteousness. He had no original sin, the only human born without it. Like Adam at the first moment of his existence, Jesus was positively righteous as an infant, as a young child, as a youth, teenagers. Jesus was a teenager, but without sin. As an adult, righteous. Look for that as the defining trait of this one, this Christ child. Now, babies are cute, often. But it isn't cuteness that makes Christmas special. Cuteness happens. It happens all the time. Cuteness is not something even necessarily human. Some people think kittens are very cute. Or maybe puppies are cute. Cuteness, nostalgia, being sentimental, those aren't wrong in and of themselves. But they're not the heart of Christmas. Don't lose sight of that while so many others do. Many around us lack Christ. They don't believe in Him. They don't have Him. They don't belong to Him. And so they make up what Christmas means to them. Don't be deceived. Even if it's couched in nice words and cozy atmospheres, some appear to push back against the commercialization around us, making a buck. And they focus on family. They cultivate friendships. They go out and serve. Some want to pursue change in culture. They want to take this event of Christmas when the Son of God was born, when Jesus brought the true image of God, and they simply apply it to social action and politics and world peace. Now again, we are to love our neighbor. And world peace would be nice, but first things first. The image of God must be made new in man, or those good things never happen, can't happen. Without the image of God being remade, there's nothing. Ultimately, there must be restoration. And that's what Christ brings. He does it by bringing righteousness and living that out, living out righteousness, fulfilling all righteousness in our place. Here is how He has become our Savior, His righteousness. Children, you know Jesus was born, but that wasn't the end of the story. In fact, the Gospel account of Mark doesn't record His birth. Gospel account of John doesn't record His birth. Birth is just one piece. What all the Gospel accounts focus on is His death and resurrection. That's the climax. He brings righteousness. He has done what only He could do. What Adam should have done, Christ has done. He's obeyed God perfectly. He obeyed God even to the point of offering Himself as a sacrifice on Golgotha's cross. We read in Colossians 1, verse 20, to reconcile to God, to make peace by the blood of His cross. Verse 14 says that in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Look at where the apostle brings us, where all the Bible brings it, not some cuteness or sentimentality, but righteousness leading reconciliation and redemption. That righteousness forms the heart of the true image of God that Christ is, that He brings. And miss that, miss the cross, miss the empty tomb, miss the saving significance of these. And Christmas is hollow too. There's no real blessedness in Christmas. For unless one entrusts himself to Jesus, believes Him, casts himself upon Jesus for righteousness and says, Lord, save me, restore in me the true image of God, there's no benefit from Christ. Because the anger of God and eternal condemnation rests on all those who are unbelieving, unrepentant. But for those who believe, who accept this gospel promise in true faith, God forgives you. Christmas has value for you. Is a blessing for you. Trust Him. And so we see that the Son of God, in repairing the image of God in man, brings the true image to us. He is Himself the image of the invisible God. And don't look for salvation and social progress, although we should strive for righteousness in our society. Don't look for salvation in family, although we should strive to strengthen family. Look for salvation in Christ as it's based in righteousness. That's what the Christ child brings. From this day forward, His birth forward, He will advance righteousness on earth. The one who is the true image of God will live like it. And from the righteousness that He is and that He lives, there comes our salvation. The Savior is in the manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths. But then He goes on to go about saving. And doesn't that strike us, as we've seen throughout this series, Advent series, as human? Helping. When Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan with the priest and the Levite walking by, ignoring the man whom the robbers assaulted, and then the Samaritan walked by and helped him. Remember the question Jesus asked, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor? The answer was obvious. It's obvious to all, even unbelievers. Perhaps that's one reason why the story of Jesus resonates with men and women, boys and girls throughout time, at least at one level. Many who reject the divine identity of Jesus and the salvation that He came to bring and brought, nevertheless, they admire Jesus for His teaching, for His service. He showed mercy. He shows us what true humanity is. How much more when we see Him with the eyes of faith? We cast ourselves upon Him for time and eternity, for the good deeds He performed were not only for earthly good, but spiritual. Redemption. Reconciling sinners. Reconciling to Himself. Making peace by the blood of His cross. Reconciliation between man, warring parties. Even harder, reconciliation with God. That's the ultimate problem of man. Having this as our foundation now, joined to Christ, reconciled to God, filled with Christ's Spirit, now by His grace we can turn outward. And we must turn outward. We must show mercy as we have been shown mercy. We must tell others of this wonderful Savior and express to them the love that has been shown to us. Regardless of who they are. After all, for whom did the Son of God come? Yes, His elect. But who are we? By nature, we're His enemies. We're great sinners. And who was it to whom God sent the angel announcing good news of great joy? It was to shepherds who were of low account in their society. There's something truly human. To care for others. Spend and be spent for others, to show mercy, to show kindness, to love in the name of Christ. And when someone asks you why you do that, don't just say, well, Merry Christmas, or, well, it's that time of year. You've been given an opportunity to tell them the good news of Jesus, how He has come and reconciled you to God and is changing you. Enjoy the things of this life as God bestows them as gifts, but don't be so wrapped up in food and drink and work and family and toys and leisure that you neglect loving others and showing mercy, helping. God's Son brings God's true image. We are being renewed in that image. And so we are to live truly human lives, even to our enemies. That's what Christ has brought. And yet there's one other thing we want to see this morning. That is that Christ is servant and yet conquer. Servant yet conquer. Now Jesus began life the way we all do, as a baby. A baby is like a servant in the sense of completely dependent. And a baby is, grows up into a child. Again, it's like a servant. Children, you're to obey what your parents tell you to do. Now here perhaps is where modern man rejects the idea of what is human, what fits the first man, Adam. For in the garden, as God's servant, Adam rejected God's commands. Adam chose for himself what path he would follow, his own agenda. And isn't that what we do today yet? As a race, we strive to fulfill our own agenda, our own laws, to be a law unto ourselves. But then we step back and we see what happens in a society when people do not submit. There's chaos, there's civil war, there's breakdown. A sinful man does not embrace serving others by nature, as God appointed it, especially serving God. We often admit that the end point of rebellion is bad. Lawlessness, mob rule. Civil war is not the high point of human civilization. Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant. He came as a baby under the authority of Joseph and Mary. The scriptures tell us that Jesus grew and he submitted to his parents. He obeyed as a child ought to obey. It's because Jesus recognized he was to be about his heavenly Father's business. He is the Son, but he did not grasp, he did not hold on to that status. Instead, he prayed that his Father's will would be done, even though it meant he would suffer. Pilate declared to the crowd, "Behold the man." And Jesus shows us what it means to be a human in this fallen world, to suffer, to endure suffering. That's the plan, the will of God, to do it without complaining, with humble acceptance, to cast himself upon God, especially during those times. Doesn't that strike us as human? Not to be stoic, not to ignore the pain, but bearing the suffering, bearing the grief, bearing the pain through faith in Jesus, relying on Him. We've seen the opposite of that. We've seen people who lose it. We've also seen, by God's grace, people who endure patiently. And that's what it looks like to be human. And Jesus has brought that. Servant, yet Lord, conquer. That too is what it means to be human. That's what the true image of God looks like. Because it's the image of God, not the image of man, not the image of the devil. And the image of God is triumphant even through the pain. Jesus was tested by the devil, resisted. The devil challenges Jesus later in his ministry, "If you are the Son of God." Is Jesus the image of God or not? Whose son is he? Well, the devil reasons, if you are God's son, you will do this. You will exert power for your own advantage, your own glory. Now, Jesus is God's son, but he's also the true image of God, and as such, it's the way of testing, it's the way of trial, it's the way of suffering he walks. Adam was presented with a test, and he failed because he tried to become what he thought was God. Like God. Disobeying God's clear command. But Jesus, being the image of the invisible God, he countered Satan with the Word of God, it is written. The invisible God, as we read in Colossians, is revealed there as the true image of God. Reflecting, not usurping. Pointing to, not from. The Word of God sets the agenda. The Son of God, grasping the Word, the sword of the Spirit, he conquers. He didn't conquer by obliterating human enemies, bringing an earthly paradise. His method of conquering was what appeared from the moment of his birth, humble suffering. The angel host did not usher in the kingdom of heaven. Instead, Christ does it through his suffering and death, the blood of his cross. The reason he was born was to die. But on the third day he rose again, victorious. 40 days later he ascended into heaven, the conqueror. That's what it means to be human. To bear the true image of God. As with all good stories, good wins. Yes, there are casualties along the way, but humanity comes out on top, not in our strength, but by God's grace. There is a champion. Here's the story God has been telling from the very beginning. And He gave us a hint of triumph coming through man, but not because of man. He gave a hint already there in the beginning, because as we saw, in the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And on Christmas Day, God's Son brings God's true image. He is the image of the invisible God. That's reason to celebrate. That's reason to rejoice, to praise God. And with that, believing that, having Him, may you have a blessed Christmas. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You have given the most wonderful gift of all, Your Son. Jesus, thank You for taking upon Yourself our nature, for being the true image of God, and restoring us to it by Your life, Your suffering, Your death, Your resurrection. Thank You for sending Your Spirit to us to change us. Thank You. We give You all the praise. You are the One who is restoring mankind, who will glorify mankind. It is not our work, it is Your work alone. Thank You. And so we adore You. We praise You. We worship You. Amen.